Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing ATLian money lessons.
Joel, so the 404, I feel like that might just be a Georgia thing, but everybody in Georgia, definitely everybody in Atlanta knows that the 404, that's Atlanta.
That's our area code, man.
It's our area code, but it's specific to like in-town Atlanta. Like that's an area code that you can't get outside of the perimeter, and I feel like it's kind of like this badge of honor. If you have a 404 phone number, you've kind of got the bragging rights that you live in town.
Sadly, mine is 678.
Is it really? Yeah. I was going to ask because I actually don't know your phone number because it's just saved on my phone, but I lucked out, scored a 404 number, I don't know, maybe like 13, 14 years ago, something like that. But because this is episode 404, we decided to have a little fun with this one, have an Atlanta-themed episode, and we're going to kind of take a tour throughout Atlanta's history and our present, and we're going to glean some different money lessons that we think we can take from those historical events, things we're going to talk about, and apply them to our lives, them to your lives.
You're going to learn some cool stuff about Atlanta in this episode, hopefully that you're into, but also with that, you're going to learn some cool stuff about money based on some of those Atlanta trivia, the nuggets that we're going to throw out there. So,
absolutely.
But before we get to that, Matt, I wanted to quickly mention that, you know, we talked not too long ago, we had an episode about credit cards and just like some of the perks that you might be missing. And one of the things that we mentioned in that episode is that sometimes the way people spend on a credit card, there's a little bit less friction. And spending with cash, you feel like you're parting with something valuable. And so you put a little more meaning behind it. Well, we had a listener that reached out, listener Josh, and he said, it's actually interesting that might be a generational divide that younger folks actually think of spending dollar bills as being free money. Like they think of that in a different way than they think of putting money on their credit card or paying with like Google Pay or something like that.
Well, specifically because they've grown up not really interacting with physical cash. And I totally get that.
He shared like some TikTok videos that were enlightening of just like some of the younger folks being like, all right, this doesn't cost me any money because I'm paying with greenbacks.
You know? It also depends on how nerdy you are with it, right? Because like I understand the sentiment. I understand that feeling of if you have like, I don't know, a $5 bill or a 20, something laying around in a drawer. If you haven't accounted for that money, well, I can just stick that in my pocket, go out later on and buy some drinks. And that way it kind of feels like a gift card. It was just sitting there. I wasn't using it for anything else. However, I think it does come down to how well you track your money. Because in my household, there is no money just laying around. Because every dollar that has entered our house has come from somewhere, and we've accounted for that. And so if we had taken some cash out for some odd reason, which we never do, but if we had, I mean, there's record of that. And so like in the moment, I totally understand that sentiment that it feels like it's free. And I guess if you're not keeping up with your money very closely, maybe, it feels even more free because you haven't accounted for that.
Well, I can
see. But in my mind, it's like, no, that's just money that I've withdrawn at some prior point in time, or that's money that we've received as a gift that, you know, I've accounted for with, you know, on our spreadsheets. It's all been tracked. And so in my mind, it doesn't feel free at all.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where he's coming though, because like, you know, the other day we sold something on Facebook yard sale and it was for a few $100s. And we were like, well, what do we do with this money? Because that is kind of found money to a certain degree. You know, granted, we're saving up to buy some new things to put in our house. And so we're kind of allocating it towards that. But once it's cash in a drawer, it's right. Like, I totally understand that mentality.
Yeah.
That cash in a drawer can take on a different psychological meaning. And I just kind of found that interesting. Like, that was a point counterpoint there where, like, it's not necessarily. And one of the things that actually Josh mentioned, too, was there's actually a lot of friction when it comes to him paying with a card because he has like three different types of alerts set up. And so I thought that was a good recommendation too for folks who do find that their spending on a credit card feels too easy and that they're overspending by doing so. Well, yeah, maybe set up multiple different alerts on your phone or like an email alert so that you kind of go into your inbox and you're like, dang it, yeah, that's right, I got to log that. And so that it feels a little more tangible, a little more real.
Yeah, it's another way that it registers that you actually made that purchase as opposed to, because it's not more friction when you get a text, it's just another notification. It's just another voice saying, hey, you just spent some money.
You feel it a little more.
Yeah. But what I would suggest to you though, regarding, you said you're selling some stuff, you're saving up to buy some things once y'all get done with the home renovation. I assume maybe some furniture, some things like that, maybe, like some rugs.
Rugs, definitely
drapes,
rugs.
That kind of thing. But, it, I mean, if that was me, what I would do, I would take that money, and obviously cash is fungible. So let's say I got $200 sitting there. Well, I'm going to take that $200, and I'm going to, say, withdraw $200 from our grocery budget for that month, and then use that cash to go to our grocery budget. And that $200 deduction from our grocery budget then goes to a $200 addition to the furniture category, or the furniture bucket, whatever you want to call it, depending on how you do your finances. But yeah, I mean, I guess I want to encourage folks, the nickel and diming of money in that way, I feel like can be a way that you could see more money leave your possession without you realizing it. And so if you assign names to it, it's like, no, that money, he has an assignment, you know? It's like, oh, those dollars over there, those ladies, they're going to, you know, purchase us a new couch here pretty soon.
Yeah, you want to know where that money is supposed to go, because if not, it'll leak like a sieve out of your life.
Ooh,
right?
I like that.
All right, well, let's keep moving on, Matt. Let's mention the beer that we're having on this episode. This one is called Siberius Maximus. It's the 10th anniversary brew by Wrecking Bar Brew Pub right down the street from us. Of course, this is an Atlanta-themed episode. We had to have...
Of course, we had to have...
A delicious Atlanta beer.
An Atlanta brew, absolutely. Yeah. And this one in particular is a very special beer. I'm looking forward to sharing this one with you, and we'll talk about it at the end of the show.
Sounds good, man. Looking forward to it. But let's get into this, Matt. Let's talk about ATLian money lessons.
By the way, ATLians, if folks don't know Outcast, you can look that up later. But that's why we named this one ATLian
Even
money
if you're
lessons.
Not an ATL, you should know that.
You
reference.
Should know that, yeah.
Well, and I think the interesting thing is, Matt, like, we can all learn lessons in unintended places, right? I feel like there are always things around us so we can learn if we just kind of open our eyes a little bit. Yeah, for instance, like going through the depths of COVID insanity last year, you know, fall was
or
hard.
Or even like currently?
Currently, I mean, COVID
still have it, like our third graders are home doing virtual learning because of positive Delta variant cases at school, and I'm just like, we aren't out of the woods. I mean, we're still dealing with this, even though we're fully vaccinated and we're ready to move on with life.
Exactly.
It's frustrating.
But I remember distinctly last fall when things were tough and pretty much everything had fallen off of my calendar. I was like, I got a lot more free time. And
I remember those days.
And we didn't necessarily realize, or we wouldn't have said, that we thought we needed more family time together. But as our normal rhythms kind of eroded away because of coronavirus, like, we quickly learned the lesson that actually, we did need more time together, that it was a positive thing for our family. But it was a lesson that we didn't know that we needed to learn. And I would say, similarly, since we're on episode 404, and since, like you said, that's the area code of our home city, today is the perfect time for us to talk about some money lessons that we associate with our hometown, kind of pull out some of those historical and cultural nuggets from, you know, coolest city in the South, let's be honest. Sorry, Birmingham, take a back seat.
Or even Miami. Well, Miami's not the South, it's Florida.
Yeah, right? No, that's a completely different beast. So Atlanta, definitely the coolest city in the South.
Different country.
And there's some helpful stuff we're going to talk about today that are all about the 404.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know if you can get 404 numbers anymore. I think they ran out.
I think so. I think that's why I had to settle for a 678 years and years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, this kind of actually makes me think back to when I first went off to be a summer camp counselor during my summers off in college. You kind of mentioned learning lessons in unintended places. And so one of the main reasons I went off to work as a camp counselor at a boys adventure, you know, summer camp. First of all, my buddy Jeff was like, hey, you need to go work there because it'll be a lot of fun. And I was like, all right, that sounds like, yeah, I'm down with that. And also, too, to make a little bit of money, a very small amount of money.
Camp counselors aren't rolling in the dough.
Oh, absolutely not. But one of the other lessons I absolutely learned, and it just stood out to me how much of this I was doing, was the ability to learn how to teach and connect with kids. Up until that point, I hadn't really worked much with youth. I mean, granted, I was in college at that point, barely even in college as well, so I wasn't all that old myself. But even still, working with, you know, 6 to 16-year-old boys specifically, and being outside and hiking and teaching them how to survive, you know, when you go camping and different things like that, not only was I learning a ton about the outdoors, but I was learning how to communicate, how to teach children, how to work with kids. And that wasn't something that I thought I was going to learn. I remember at the time writing at one point saying, you know, I think I'm ready to have kids. I'm like 22 years old or something like that. And I think I remember my dad saying
that. It felt less daunting to you after that, maybe.
Yeah, and obviously that was a very juvenile statement to state. There's a lot more that goes into raising kids than just being able to entertain them, you know, for a couple of weeks over the summer. But this is, again, what we're going to be doing today. We're going to discuss some of these different personal finance lessons, and they're going to come to us in these historical events. They're going to come packaged in history, but they're certainly applicable to our personal finances. We definitely do love our city, and you'll hear why during this episode, but you'll also learn some important financial lessons.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to one of the most famous historic things that's ever happened to our city, and that was in 1864 when General Sherman burned Atlanta to the ground.
Let's start at the beginning. Yeah.
Let's start at like one of the most saddest moments in Atlanta history, right? More than like 3,000 buildings were destroyed when that happened. And this was only General Sherman's first destructive stop as he began his famous march to the sea, right? And that led him and his troops all the way to Savannah, which is like a 3.5 hour drive from here. So that's a long march, right? But this awful event for anyone living near the destruction really actually kind of led to a renaissance of sorts. And Atlanta is actually like forever kind of tied to the bird, the phoenix. It's kind of like our mascot.
Unofficial mascot. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's like on all of the government buildings, like it's on like the letterhead, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's really because like our city rose from the ashes after this burning to rebuild and to retain relevance in our country. And so, yeah, the first ATL financial lesson that we're going to cover today is that no matter how bad the devastation is, you can always recover, just like Atlanta did in the 1800s.
That's true. Yeah, it's never so bad that you can't find a way to rebuild. Another takeaway from this defining historic moment is that being properly insured is crucial. We talked in depth about insurance products that folks should really consider getting back in episode 233. We'll link to that in our show notes. But not having the right kind of insurance when terrible things happen, when disaster strikes, can turn a hardship into tragedy. And so whether that's having just the proper health coverage and getting life insurance, or making sure that you've got renter's insurance if you don't own the place where you're living. So again, we want to encourage folks that you can always rebuild. And sometimes, man, I think when you find yourself in a massive hole of debt and it only seems like you're digging yourself deeper and deeper, sometimes, and we don't talk about this often, but sometimes bankruptcy could be the best path moving forward. Sometimes it takes essentially burning your financial world down to the ground in order to kind of start fresh and move forward. And so, again, that's not something we often talk about, but given your circumstances, that might be the right option for you.
Yeah, and before you just pull the trigger on that, you're going to want to talk to a not-for-profit debt counselor. You know, we've talked to people that work for like the National Foundation for Credit Counseling or Money Management International on the show before. We'll link to those in the show notes. But yeah, like get some counseling. And in fact, Matt, like my parents declared bankruptcy when I was a kid and their financial situation is great now. And like that was a almost traumatizing experience. Like that was a really difficult time in our family's life. But it just goes to show that no matter, you know, how bad things are, you can rebuild. So I think that is an important lesson. Let's get to another.
Just like Atlanta rebuilt.
Exactly. And now we're kicking butt. And so let's get to, just another money lesson from the ATL is, and this one is time is valuable, right? The commute times here in Atlanta are notoriously terrible. They're some of the worst in the country. We actually rank sixth in the worst commutes around the country, and the average commute time is about 32 minutes. You know, most people don't factor that god-awful commute into their decision-making, or at least not nearly as much as they should, right? And we're not just talking about the cost of commuting, the car, the gas, the insurance. Like, those are all factors that you need to take into account, especially if you're like, yeah, I'll take that higher-paying job that is going to involve an extra 30-minute commute. It's going to involve, you know, more wear and tear on my car, more gas. Well, we'd obviously love for you to find cheaper ways to commute, but the biggest thing actually worth considering is how much time that commuting rips out of your life. So yeah, that's one lesson we can learn from looking around at our city. So many people stuck in their cars, and it turns out that many of them are wasting the most precious resource. It's not money, it's their time that they're spending stuck in the car, more than they should be.
That's right. Yeah, oftentimes folks will say time is money, and in some cases that's true, but actually time is more valuable than money, because you can always earn more money down the road. But time, man, once those hours are gone, you cannot get those back. And so we want folks to consider more than just how much house they can afford, right? And so like we're talking about, like picturing somebody who's thinking about purchasing a home out in the burbs, because, you know, the further you move out of a major city, oftentimes the more prices will drop per square foot on average. So you can get a really big house in the exurbs of Atlanta for, you know, the price of a much smaller home that would keep you closer to your job. But do this first. Consider the amount of time that you spend in a vehicle getting to and from work. And Joel, man, not just work too, but to and from friends, like the store you'd go to, other places that you like to visit. You might find that there is a serious amount of time that's going to come out of your life that you're going to spend in the car. So we would encourage folks to strive to live in a place where you're not going to be stuck in heaps of traffic every day. Commutes are really stressful and they can take a toll on your mental health. You know, or here's another alternative. At least consider carpooling. That might be a way that you can reclaim some time if you're swapping with somebody, taking over the duties of driving to work every day.
Yeah, well, they're driving. You can be working or at least, you know, reading a book, being somewhat productive.
Pop in the headphones, close your eyes and listen to a podcast. I think a lot of folks, too, they might have no commute at the moment because if you are working from home, and if so, then that's great. But to anyone who is starting to commute back to their job, look for a way to pursue full-time working from home or to get closer to your job. Jill, I think another takeaway when it comes to thinking about traffic here in Atlanta, too, is just the hidden costs of everything. This is sort of a topic we've touched on before, but everything, every action we take, whether it be an expense or something we choose to do, oftentimes there are hidden costs associated with them. And not only are there hard monetary costs, but it can be a drain on your time as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And yeah, I think one other thing when we're talking about traffic, the solution that we've always looked to in Atlanta, and sadly so, is to just pour more asphalt, right? To create more lanes of traffic. And it's interesting, like when you look at studies, adding more lanes doesn't actually really ever fix the problem. And at best, it's an incredibly short-term solution.
Well, what it does, it encourages more people to, I mean, the studies show that more, like you put another lane down and the
people are like, all right, I'm going to drive some more.
Yeah, the amount of cars that take that route increases.
Yeah, and so, yeah, quickly we're back to the same problem that we had before, which is just clogged roadways. But yeah, the Beltline is actually the hottest word associated with Atlanta right now. It's changing the face of our city and it's really doing so really quickly. It's this glorified giant sidewalk that's making, basically connecting all of in-town Atlanta, and it's making it just so much easier to commute in an alternative way if you live and work in town. So that's one of those things where sometimes it takes a creative solution instead of the obvious one. It takes thinking outside of the box and not just doing what we've always done. And I think when it comes to our finances, sometimes we just keep repeating. We keep making the same mistakes over and over again. We keep doing things the way we've always done them. And instead, maybe it's time to try something different. And yeah, for instance, when it comes to Atlanta, the Beltline, I've seen so many more bike commuters in our town because of it. Like, it really is making a big difference in how people feel about living in the city and how people are able to navigate it. So I think it's important to note that sometimes it takes thinking just a little bit differently in order to get the most beneficial results.
Yeah. And so, like, it makes me think of expenses, right? And so if you're thinking, all right, I got to cut my expenses, you can tighten the belt and try to reduce the amount that you're spending out at the grocery store every month. Maybe you've set that budget amount to an unrealistic number because in the end, you still have to go and buy groceries because you have to eat in order to survive, right? But maybe a more effective creative solution would be to get a roommate. Like, that's not something that I think oftentimes people think, oh, okay, this is a way I can cut my expenses. But that is 100% a way to effectively reduce the amount of money that you're spending every single month. Or even like when it comes to earning more money, it makes me think about somebody who's like, okay, maybe I'll work a little bit of overtime. I want to clock some more hours. When instead, I think the more creative solution that could lead to better results would be entrepreneurship. Think through what it is that really gets you excited if you are in a job that you don't necessarily love. Instead of continuing just to work a little bit longer or working harder at your current 9-to-5, look at some of these other ways that you could generate some income.
Yeah, it's amazing how sometimes just a simple shift in mindset can really change our outlook on the problem, and a little bit of creativity thrown into your personal finances can go a long way.
That's right.
Well, we've got some more tips to get to based on our favorite city, our hometown.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jimmy Carter. We're going to talk about the Braves. I feel like all of our favorite tips are later in the episode.
Yeah. All right, so we'll get to all those right after this.
All right, we are back and we're talking about different ATL-ian money lessons that we can learn from our city. And Joel, you know, compared to a lot of other large metropolitan cities across the country, Atlanta is surprisingly affordable for what it has to offer. We've got 16 Fortune 500 companies based here. I didn't know if you knew that. A little braggadocious big business.
Which one is the top earning? My guess is Home Depot, but I'm not sure.
It's got to be. It's probably not Coke. I mean, Coke's huge, but I don't think they're making as much money as Home Depot.
Home Depot's been crushing it.
It's probably not Delta either, because they're. I feel like they've been hurting. I feel like airlines have slim margins. regardless, the cost of living in Atlanta is roughly 44% lower than it is in New York City. And it's 15% less than it is in Chicago. But even still, opportunity abounds here in the ATL. The best opportunities aren't always in the biggest cities like San Francisco and New York City. And plus, there are the added difficulties of moving to a high cost of living area. Even by earning more, you might still be getting the short end of the stick, basically, compared to the lifestyle that you could afford in other parts of the country in a lower cost of living area with a more reasonable salary.
Yeah, Matt, I remember talking to somebody recently, and they moved to LA and they got a substantial raise to move out there. But I was like, I don't know, I was just thinking to myself, when it comes to the cost of living out there, my guess is he's not going to be able to up his lifestyle very much at all. Like, he's really, he's making more of a lateral move in terms of like income to expense ratio. And so it is important to think about that. Atlanta is one of those places where there's a ton of opportunity, but the costs are lower, like you said. So
yeah, you get a lot of bang for your buck here in Atlanta.
Yeah, you do. You do. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like, part of the reason for this episode is to convince our listeners to move to Atlanta because it's that wonderful and it's going to save you money. But
and you'll be closer to us.
Exactly. Yeah, we can hang out whenever you want. Go get beers. And yeah, I think the other lesson from this too is to not just go with a name brand, right? I think people just assume that the highest paying jobs, the best quality of life is going to be found in some of the top five cities in the U.S. But yeah, when we're talking about something on a smaller scale, dig a little deeper, right? Is it the name brand always the right move? I mean, sometimes it is clearly better, or there's a better warranty associated with it, or it's just more long-lasting. Like, if you buy that product, you're going to use it for 10 years as opposed to two. But yeah, will the store brand equivalent suffice instead? Will a cheaper alternative be better for you? I think, yeah, I don't know. That's how I think about that. It's not always the most expensive thing that is, the right move. And so doing your research, doing your due diligence can help you potentially save money by buying a product that's actually better for you that costs less.
Yeah, when it comes to diapers, Atlanta is Aldi and New York City is Huggies. We talked recently about just the rising price of diapers. And I mean, Aldi is one of those low-cost stores. I mean, anybody listening to the show for any length of time know that you and I, we love Aldi. We love Lidl. We love Costco. And we have the opportunity to buy diapers that are sometimes half the cost of what some of the name brand competitors are going for. And so when you're able to get the job done, but you're able to spend a lot less money, we would definitely recommend for folks to do that instead.
And what an important job those diapers are doing, Matt.
Let's talk about how it's this giant melting pot. Man, diversity is almost like Atlanta's calling card, I feel like, and it provides a lot of incredibly beautiful things to enjoy around the city. Like, I'm thinking about the art, the food. Both of those scenes are incredible here. The music scene runs the gamut, too.
Whatever kind of music you're into, there's like a club or a place for you to go check that stuff out.
Absolutely.
There's like my favorite blues joint is like just off Northside Drive. But then there's like, all sorts of other kinds of interesting tunes that have come out of Atlanta specifically.
Northside Tavern, is it still running?
Oh, I hope so.
It's been a minute since you've been over there.
I haven't been in there in a while.
So I'm thinking of food there too. Like, one of the best diverse spots in Atlanta when it comes to food is Buford Highway. It's been called like one of the most diverse stretches of road in the U.S. Tons, like I want to say like thousands of immigrant-owned businesses there.
Oh yeah.
And whatever type of food that you're into, you are bound to find just a great representation of that style somewhere kind of on that 6-mile stretch of Buford Highway.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite parts of the city to go to. And I think it just really, what it goes to show is that diversity rocks. And it's really, really nice to be in a city where you can experience a whole bunch of different like cultures, and in particular, a whole bunch of different styles of cuisine.
Yeah. But how does this have to do with our money, Joel?
Right. Yeah, that's the question, right? So we'll find a way to tie it in. Cool. When it comes to your money,
this one's a slam dunk.
Diversifying your holdings is crucial for long-term success, right? So
yeah,
we love diversification just in our town and what that brings, the flavor that it brings to our lives. But when you're talking about your investments, putting all your eggs in one basket is ill-advised, right? And it could lead to a lot of success, like by starting the right business and throwing everything behind it. But for most folks, there's just too great of a risk that you could crush the nest egg that you're trying to build for the future mm-hmm. if you're not diversified enough. And so that's why, Matt, you and I were fans of target date funds and index funds, of course. And yeah, you don't have to have money in 15 different funds to be quote-unquote diversified. I think sometimes people think that. They feel like they need to, you know, pick a bunch of different funds and pick a bunch of individual stocks in order to be widely diversified. But that's not the case. Sometimes one or two single funds can do the trick. Plus that complexity, like trying to invest in too many different ways, can have other negative effects. But diversifying in a simple manner really does ensure that you build wealth for the long haul slowly and steadily, instead of hoping that like a big bet on just a few companies is going to pay off in a big way. Because if you do that, there's too good of a chance that, you know, you see negative returns, or that you blow up your money that you're saving for, you know, 20, 30 years from now.
That's right. So let's keep the diversification train rolling here. We've got to talk about Donald Glover's excellent FX show, Atlanta, for a second.
Oh, if you haven't, when's season 3 coming out? I'm ready.
I've heard 2022.
Sometime. Okay, I hope
not,
so.
Not totally sure, but like if folks haven't seen it, we'd recommend for folks to go back and check it out. Super weird, quirky, but very entertaining. But what financial lesson can we learn from that TV show? Well, Donald Glover, he's a comedian. He's the creator of Atlanta. He's got multiple streams of income. He's also a talented rapper. He goes by Childish Gambino. Most of us will never produce a Grammy-winning album or an Emmy-winning TV show. Does he have a Tony as well? I bet he's like pretty close to like getting an EGOT. You know? That may not be in our future, but we can all work towards a future where we aren't wholly dependent on a single paycheck from an employer. Investing slowly in a diversified portfolio is, you know, the most basic way of doing that. But also starting a side hustle, that can be another way to diversify your income as well. I just love how much diversification Donald Glover has when it comes to all the different things he's got going on in the oven.
He's getting those royalties from being on Community, I'm sure, and like he's getting royalties from Atlanta, and he's producing another season of that, and he's like getting royalties from the rap album. I mean, he's got that passive income on lockdown, and so yeah, you know,
plus the royalties he receives from the show within the show, Troy and Abed in the Morning. I think that was a separate deal that he inked.
I bet he did, man. If he's a smart dude, he probably did. But yeah, those are really everything he's created, I'm a fan of. And he's just like, he's multifaceted, right? He's been a director, producer, actor, singer. And he's done more than that too, right? And all of those skills are connected, but he's been able to use them in different ways. And especially, Matt, in our current economy, right? It's crucial to be able to find ways to translate your skills into effective work within another company or even a different industry, especially we're talking about people wanting to quit their jobs in huge numbers. You know, we actually talked about that some on Monday with Ashley Stahl. But don't pigeonhole yourself. Put less of an emphasis on the jobs you've done and more of an emphasis on the skills that you've acquired, and then make sure that you accentuate and highlight those. That is going to be your ticket to career success and to be able to continue to move up in your career and make more money and do work that you love. And I do think that, the example of Donald Glover and how prolific he's been really just points to that fact.
All right, yeah. So we've talked about diversification. We talked about the affordability lessons that Atlanta can teach us, bouncing back after some financial storms. Let's talk about Jimmy Carter now. He is the only president ever to have come out of the state of Georgia. But here's the thing. Jimmy Carter, he didn't even come from Atlanta. He didn't come from the capital. He grew up in a rural part of the state, Plains, Georgia. His parents owned a peanut farm. That's why his nickname was Peanut Farmer. But Jimmy Carter is an incredibly humble, generous and philanthropic Georgian. He doesn't, you know, seek out the limelight. Instead, he lets his actions do the talking. It's just so obvious to anyone who watches his example, what he stands for. So, small example, he still teaches Sunday school at the church there in Plains, Georgia at the age of 96 years old. That's insane.
That's impressive. My grandma actually went like a couple years ago.
She, you can do that.
Had,
yeah,
to go down there and like sit at Sunday school like while Jimmy Carter was teaching. And what an incredible thing.
But he's also been actively involved with building houses with Habitat for Humanity. And he doesn't just write a check, you know, like one of those big checks, like a publisher clearinghouse, or just, you know, to show up for the photo op kind of thing. He's actually there. He's swinging a hammer. You've got the Carter Center that he helped found here in Atlanta, like with Emory. He's just an incredibly generous person, not only with his time, but also with his money.
So to take away from the example that President Carter sets. Like, I feel like that's one of George's claims to fame is having had him as a president and just the kind of man he is, more than even what he did as a president. Because, yeah, I mean, that's really up for debate, you know, depending on where you side politically, whether he did a good job or not. But yeah, the thing that it made me think, Matt, is, are we putting our money where our mouth is? Like, do we spend money on the things that we value, or are we consuming and spending without giving it much thought? And do we give to organizations that are doing effective work on causes that we care about too? Are we using our time and our energy to be a positive influence where we live? Like, it brought up all these questions for me because I'm like, that's what Jimmy Carter is doing. I want to be doing that too. And I think that's a good way to live. You know, we talked about giving money away in episode 281. Check that out if you haven't. But yeah, we really do believe that being more charitable makes you richer in, you know, and not in the financial sense because you're giving away money, but in the holistic life sense. And also, if you say that something is important to you, make sure that you aren't waiting until some distant future date to participate. You know, you're not promised tomorrow. Life isn't a guaranteed. And so, yeah, even if you're only able to engage in a small way, make sure that you're at least engaging. Because, yeah, there is such a power when it comes to aligning our beliefs and our actions. Because sometimes we say we believe something, but we don't act it out. And we feel that misalignment inside, like, you know, and we want to find a way more and more in our lives where what we say and what we do lines up. And I feel like Jimmy Carter, I could not come up with a better example of a person that does that.
Well, one of the things you mentioned too is that, like, you're not going to financially get richer by giving money away. However, if you do give money to charity, you do get a tax break.
That's true.
Not necessarily going to make you richer, but it is something to keep in mind. We're actually going to talk more about tax breaks. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship, and we're going to talk about sports. We'll get to all of those topics and how they have to do with Atlanta right after this break.
All right, we're going to keep going on today's episode. We're talking about ATLian money lessons. ATLian, obviously that old school Outcast reference. But Matt, we just talked about Jimmy Carter, one of the most famous Georgians.
The opposite of Outcast.
Maybe. I don't know. They've got some similarities.
They got some charitable giving going on.
I'm sure they do. But probably the other most famous person and arguably the more famous person just really probably is the more famous person is Martin Luther King Jr., right?
Totally.
And anybody who's from Atlanta takes a lot of pride in the fact that Martin Luther King Jr. was born here in Atlanta, right? That his legacy really is so tied to the city. And I'm not sure that you can boil MLK down to like a single word. Like, but if I was going to, I think the word I would ascribe to him is leader. And his oratory skills were certainly a part of that, right? Like, some of his speeches and his writing were profound on many levels, and they remain relevant for informing how we think about racial justice to this day. I mean, documents that were written 60 years ago are still ones that we look to and are informed by.
Oh, yeah.
Like the letter from a Birmingham jail. If you haven't read it, it's like one of the most powerful documents, and the fact that he partially wrote it on toilet paper is just like inspiring. Like, someone snuck him a pencil and he wrote it on whatever he had available to him. And really, he also just had this ability to inform and drive a movement. His organization of peaceful protests, giving power to seemingly powerless folks, and then his unwillingness to settle for, you know, lesser measures, lesser solutions from people in power, it really was this catalyst for change that needed to happen. And the civil rights movement, it just wouldn't have been the same without his leadership kind of at the heart of it.
Right. And so when it comes to your money, I mean, there aren't necessarily clear cut. Like, we're not going to say that there's a parallel, like a direct parallel here from the amazing things that Martin Luther King Jr. did and what I can do with like my monthly budget.
Obviously,
right?
We're drawing faint parallels here in today's episode. These are not direct correlations.
Yes. There was much more that he was able to do with his life. But even still, when it comes to your money, we want to encourage folks to make sure that you're not following everyone else and what it is that they're doing with their money. I think being a leader means that, you know, it means not following the Joneses, and it means to intentionally choose to live life on your own terms rather than what society, culture, advertising, what all of that has prescribed for us. And so for Martin Luther King Jr., it meant believing and pursuing something that seemed almost impossible. And if we spend money like everyone else, we're likely bound to a future that doesn't include any sort of financial independence or any financial freedom at any date. So taking the other path, that includes intentional spending, you know, on what matters to you, despite what others are doing, and saving more than you spend because of the future freedom that it'll provide, like, that is the route to take. It's countercultural, but if you have that leader mindset, you're going to be willing to go against the grain in this case.
Yeah, believing in a cause. And hopefully, you know, obviously the cause of civil rights, far more important than the cause of your individual financial independence. But if you believe in that cause, that financial independence for you is important, it will help inform your actions. It will provide the why behind what you're doing, behind some of those cuts that you're going to feel in your budget.
Yeah.
And yeah, it might also take more than just intentional spending too, right? There might be times when you're going to have to make sacrifice and make trade-offs in order to achieve some of those personal finance goals that you have. As we look at historical events in the rearview mirror, it can be easy to remove a lot of the pain and the emotion from some of the moments that happened, and it can make it look easy or inevitable. But
yeah, like it's kind of like, I mean, especially when everything's in black and white, it's just kind of like like when you look back on history, it's like, okay, that doesn't seem really like all that real. It's been documented, but like you don't feel it personally,
right?
Unless you have some sort of personal tie to some of these different historical events.
We can like sterilize history in a way by not remembering the depths of difficulty that it took to achieve what's been achieved. And yeah, marching and protesting for civil rights 60 years ago involved a whole lot of real, actual sacrifice. Like, people's homes were bombed, people were hurt and killed, and, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. was ultimately assassinated. And so, again, we're not trying to say that staying under your budget in your eating out category is equivalent to like the Selma March or anything like that. But we are trying to point out that it takes action on our part to see change actually take place. Wishing or hoping isn't enough. That is one of those things I think a lot of people, they're like, man, it'd be great if I was able to make just a couple small tweaks and get where I wanted to go. But to get somewhere meaningful, oftentimes it takes more than that.
Yeah, you definitely have to put into action the things that you want to see done. And it's definitely helpful when you have, when you're taking a leadership mentality. And Joel, I teased some of the different tax breaks and the lessons that we can learn from Georgia when it comes to taxes. And yeah, one of the other things that Georgia has in spades is film industry credits. Different movie companies, they've taken advantage of some sweet tax incentives that the state of Georgia is offering. Most production companies that do work in the state of Georgia receive a 20% tax break. And then there's this additional 10% tax credit if they include a promotional Georgia logo at the end of the film as well.
Can you imagine, does anybody say, I'll take the 20%, but I'm not going to put that logo at the end of the film?
It's a no-brainer, man. Or even just like the different TV shows. I mean, that's why all the different, you know, Marvel series, like the credit reel at the end is so long. And so if you're kind of looking for the little post-credit scene, you have to kind of scroll through all of that. And you always look for the Georgia Peach because it's always near the end. It's no wonder that, you know, like Atlanta specifically is becoming the Hollywood of the South. They're calling it Yollywood because of the amount of film production that's taking place in our city.
Yeah. And, you know, a decent chunk of all of our money goes towards taxes each year. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's really important for all of us to work to minimize that as much as we can. I think sometimes we think of that as a fixed cost or something that we don't really have much control over. But that's not really true, right?
Yeah, there are tax breaks that we can take advantage of as individuals.
It's not just for like fancy movie studios to be able to get the big tax credits. There are things available to us as individuals. So by investing more of your money in tax advantage accounts, like a traditional IRA or a 401k, you'll not only be saving more for your future, but you'll also be lowering your current year's tax bill. It's the same with putting more money in your HSA if you have access to one, a health savings account. We've done a deep dive on those in the past. They are possibly our favorite retirement account of all time. But it's important to note that getting the tax break now is not always the smartest move. We love Roth IRAs. We think they're the best option for a lot of folks. But whether you're getting a tax break now or later, you know, finding ways to minimize the impact of taxes in your life is really important.
Joel, let's talk about sports here for a minute.
Your favorite subject?
I'm not huge into sports. I do like the Atlanta United soccer team. But you are a big fan of the Atlanta Braves. And I feel like they have found their niche, not just as like a sports team for our city, right, Atlanta, but for the entire Southeast. I mean, as a kid growing up in Augusta, I mean, the Atlanta Braves were it. I mean, definitely, especially in the 90s. Like, you know, they had that.
Those were the good old days.
The massive, you know, run in the 80s and 90s. They're being broadcasted on TBS. Like, because of that, the surrounding states were getting a taste of the Atlanta Braves. Kind of had that 14-year run of division championship winning teams throughout those years. That definitely didn't hurt in the popularity of the Braves. And in addition, I think Atlanta, they were able to take advantage of the geography, right? Because there were no other professional teams in the surrounding southern states. And so because of that, it was smart to be able to reach out to the different baseball lovers in like states like Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, even Mississippi. And so instead of settling for just Atlanta baseball fans, it seems like the Braves reached beyond those borders and they created this just regional powerhouse. And you had people all across the Southeast rooting for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, so I agree. And those 14 years were some of the best of my life, Matt. I watched way too much baseball as a kid.
I did as well back then.
It was like, it was what you did because it was broadcast on TBS and everybody was watching and everything I wore was basically Braves related at that point in time too. Not so anymore, especially when they broke my heart and essentially left in town Atlanta for the just outside of 285.
We'll save that topic for another. There's got to be another lesson there. Actually, kind of going back to the time is more valuable than money. Like, come on, Braves. What are you thinking?
I know. Yeah, now I've got to plan ahead to go to a Braves game, whereas before I used to just like hop on my bike
we would bike to the Braves game, and those were the good old days.
Yeah, they were. Well, what money lesson can we take from this example of
not the Braves leaving, but like the regional aspect of the Braves and their massive fan base.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to something like entrepreneurship, addressing and solving existing problems is the key to really building something great. That's where the best ideas come from. When you say, okay, well, not just like, what do I want to accomplish, but what is the need that I'm trying to meet? Who am I trying to serve? And the Braves realized there's a need greater than what they initially anticipated, and that, you know, reaching out to multiple states in the surrounding area was going to increase their viewership, increase their fan base, and then drive merchandise sales, right? And
sure,
drive ticket sales too at the ballpark, as people really do travel from hours and hours away to come see a game. So yeah, it's one of those things where I think when we're thinking about what it looks like as an entrepreneur to do something great, it really, we need to think a little bit bigger, kind of like the Braves did, turning it from just like the Atlanta Braves into kind of Braves country.
Oh, that's right. That's the old...
That's their slogan now,
slogan,
right?
Braves country. And here's the thing. I'm not totally sure if the Braves did that super strategically and intentionally.
Might have lucked into it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it was just one of those, it's a broadcast deal and everyone's watching it. And so therefore they become Braves fans because they don't have a local team that they're looking to root for. But regardless of whether or not the Braves did it intentionally or not, that's the kind of intentionality, though, that we do want you to bring when it comes to entrepreneurship. I mean, it makes me think back to starting the photography company that Kate and I started. Back in the day, the wedding industry had a serious void of good photojournalists. And essentially, that's what we were looking for when we got married. And there weren't that many creative photojournalists out there. And the ones who were providing that kind of work were either really, really expensive, or they were completely booked up because the demand was so incredibly high. We were able to witness that firsthand, and we thought, this is something that we could do. I mean, both of us had some photography background. And so we started our own company and we had a nice, you know, 12-year run with photography. But we were smashing grand slams, to mix our analogies here, right out of the gate, because we had identified that need before we had even pulled the trigger on starting the company. And so oftentimes folks will say, yeah, follow your passion. But what we would say instead is to follow the problems. Because anytime you can solve problems, anytime you can make people's lives better, you're going to be well compensated for it.
No doubt. Matt, let's just take one more example from Atlanta sports history, and this one is just a sadder one. but another legacy that we really have in the city of Atlanta is we choke pretty consistently when the moment gets big, like on the big stage. There aren't many times where Atlanta has come through in the clutch and like pulled one out, and, you know. And so I feel like that's like a legacy that we all have to deal with as individual sports fans of Atlanta teams. Like, I moved here when I was two, so basically all my sports memories are of Atlanta sports teams, me rooting for Atlanta sports teams, and mostly being let down.
Like, you had one World Series win in there, right?
Right, yeah. That was 95. Obviously, that was the best year in Atlanta sports history. But, yeah, really, like, there were 14 division championships, Matt, and just one World Series win.
Yeah.
or you think about what happened to the Falcons in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. I think the ESPN odds.
Referring to the 28-3 lead that they completely blew.
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
Okay.
It still hurts. And
so
honestly,
I'm not a huge Falcons fan, and so for me, like, I don't...
I'm not either.
I don't grimace at all when I hear that.
But I remember watching that, and just, it was devastating still as someone who's like, I don't really go to Falcons games, but...
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. And it just felt so Atlanta when it happened. It was like, okay, this is what happens like when you're an Atlanta sports fan. And I feel like you still see the grimace on people's faces when the topic comes up, like you probably just saw on mine. But yeah, like, I think the lesson that we can draw from this is finishing strong is important, right? And our Atlanta sports teams haven't seemed to really get that or do well with that. But when it comes to our money, that's a really, really important thing for us to figure out. I think like we all have the ability and the possibility of self-sabotage when it comes to our money, or in lots of areas of our lives. But even if you've been able to make sustained progress on your money over quite a period of time, it's possible to throw a lot of that effort away in a moment of weakness, right? Or to let our habits atrophy over time. I think having regular check-ins to make sure that you aren't losing steam and that you're still working towards those bigger goals is crucial, because it's easy to get away from something good that you've started and then to lose that progress. And you don't want to be like the Falcons in the fourth quarter of that game, giving it all away in just like a short period of time, something that you worked over a really long period of time to accumulate.
That's right. We want you to finish strong with your personal finances. We don't want you to choke in the fourth quarter and give up like
a ton of points or the ninth inning or stoppage time.
We love our city. We're huge fans of Atlanta, and hopefully you got a little taste of Atlanta history here. Some mini Atlanta history lessons in addition to some money help on today's episode. We feel that the 404, it's an excellent place to live. We'd encourage you to check it out for many of the beneficial reasons that we mentioned on today's episode.
Yeah, I feel like we're really experiencing Atlanta during its heyday right now too. I mean, you know, Sherman tried to have his way back in the 1860s and demolish it, but it's like, no way, man. We really are. Are like the Phoenix. Our city represents that well. And I feel like right now is the time when Atlanta is at its most vibrant. And it's kind of exciting to see. It's really fun to be a part of it. And so, yeah, most of our listeners should probably think about moving here. But let's get back to the beer that we had, Matt. This is a local beer from one of our favorite local brew pubs. It's called Siberius Maximus by Wrecking Bar Brew Pub. It is a Russian Imperial Stout. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, this one was very, very delicious. It poured super black. You could catch a whiff of it. And obviously there was like roasty, like dark roasty notes, but almost like a boozy chocolate vibe going on. That was, I felt, immediately followed by like some vanilla and some coconuts. And as soon as you took that sip, like all of those flavors, because sometimes the notes that you pick up by smelling it doesn't always translate to flavor.
True.
But every single one of those notes, I feel like I was smelling directly translated to on my tongue.
This was like a masterpiece, I would say. And I like a good Russian Imperial Stout, although it's a style I don't drink very often because it is so big and so bitter most of the time. And this might be the best Russian Imperial Stout I've ever had.
Like a fantastic example of the style.
Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes they are overly bitter. This one had a lot of bitter dark chocolate notes. And I love dark chocolate. Like, give me dark chocolate over milk chocolate any day of the week. And this one was like exactly the flavors I wanted to experience and was hoping to experience. And I got to. So yeah, it was bitter dark chocolate without being just like over the top bitter. And I'm sure they put extra special care and attention into this one because it's their 10th anniversary beer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, really everything that we've had from Wrecking Bar is pretty much a great beer.
Yes.
So, but this one was maybe one of the best we've ever had.
Yeah, we're lucky to have that brew pub just right up the street from us. And this is a very special one. It doesn't say it on the bottle, but this is a, how do you say it? Like a cuvée? So this is a blend of multiple batches that they had in order to craft the perfect anniversary.
Using the best versions.
Yes.
To create the epic version.
Absolutely. So, if you are in Atlanta and you are looking to check out a great brew pub that's got fantastic food and really good beer, check out Wrecking Bar. But Joel, that's going to be it for Money Talk for today. Listeners, you can find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com. We'll make sure to link to any of the previous episodes or any of the different resources we may have mentioned during this episode. And again, you can find that up at howtomoney.com.
That's right. But until next time, buddy, best friends out.
Best friends out.